Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media for the live show. Thanks if you download the podcast. I appreciate that. Any and all support that you can give us, we appreciate. We're building a new network here. So, you know, get the word around. If you're on a social media site of some kind, I know a lot of people are getting back on Twitter. But any of them, really, you know, it'd help if you posted that we're live now or that people can download the podcast at Real Liberty Media. And let's build this thing. Hey, Benny's in the chat room. Looks like people are starting to gather, so let's do this thing. Let's see. Let's make everything's running because I got to tell you something about last week that's kind of crazy, but I'm kind of glad that I went through all the processes in the beginning, kind of figuring out how to, you know, not make a mistake, I guess, or to cover your mistakes. So I'll talk about that a little bit too. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun, shining light on the darkness. Behind the woodshed every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Hal Anthony, man, 2 hours, no breaks. That guy is fantastic. He delivers 2 hours of information that you won't find anywhere else. I mean, that's the bottom line. You won't find the information that Hal Anthony delivers every Sunday anywhere else. So please give Hal Anthony some love, show him some support. Come on here Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, and catch his live show or download his podcast. Let's see, he just finished his 500th episode. That's crazy, man, 500 episodes. Good job, Hal. Fantastic. I'm proud of you. And Hal and I are kind of working together to make sure his show gets on the air. He does all the hard stuff. I just try and get it to start on time. And I kind of found some solutions this week, but I'm telling you, we may have to go to some kind of professional software or something. I'm not sure yet, 100% sure. But it's really kind of irritating that you can't just have something that's supposedly automatic, auto DJ, actually work. Now, I've been in talks with Vozcast, who has auto DJ, and I'm not very thrilled with the answers I'm getting. But anyway, we're going to make sure his show gets on and is on for 2 full hours. Hopefully uninterrupted. We had one little glitch a couple weeks ago, but we're going to monitor that and make sure that doesn't happen again. Let's see. I lost my notes. Where did my notes go? Here they are. All right. So we want to get rid of that guy, I think, and just do this. So it's stormy here today. Stormy as in cold. And windy and rainy and maybe some snow. I mean, we all keep kind of holding our breath that the snow is coming because I think we all kind of want some, you know, like, okay, it's late November, early December, let's get to it. And it may be coming, it may not. But if I get wiped out, just know it's because the power went down. There's been some power outages around this region, and it didn't affect us at all yet. but it could. So if I disappear, it's probably that we lost power. Now, if we lose power, I'm probably going to still complete this podcast and then just post the recording. I'm going to talk about Sunday's show in just a minute, but I did want to kind of cover some stuff that's going on here on the homestead. It's kind of amazing, man. So it's November 30th. I'm in Oregon. Most of you know that. But we harvested the last of the spaghetti squash today. So it's November 30th. And winter squashes, man, they'll go into winter a long ways. And we harvested the last of it today. So we have some pretty good size spaghetti squash we're going to use for spaghetti and for squash and just eating and keeping us living, for crying out loud. And then in the greenhouse, so that's out in the garden, I think that's the last, it may be the last, I didn't go out and look after we took the spaghetti squash. There may be some squash still out there, acorn squash maybe. But that's the garden, so it's just about done. In the greenhouse, we have tomatoes that are still producing tomatoes, maybe 20 to 40 tomatoes a day. And we still have to process those. So, yeah, still a lot of food. And the chickens are doing well. Yesterday we got 17 eggs from 23 birds. That's pretty good for late November. We do artificially light them so they keep producing, but you know, and we're not torturing them. It's just like 12 hours of artificial light to extend their day so they don't slow down on us. They always slow down a little bit, twice a year. They molt, kind of just like shedding, you know, for putting on their winter coat or putting on their summer coat. Shedding their winter coat. Either way, when they molt, their production slows down. And I don't think there's anything you can do about that. We've tried the organic stuff that you can do. And, yeah, they just need a rest like everything else. They're just tired when they got to change their feathers. It probably requires a lot of effort in one way or another. So, yeah. But right now, everything's good. We're giving some eggs away. We're using a lot of eggs. Crystal is on the sourdough kick. And she is making a ton of sourdough stuff, like bread. But today, she made, I think, 40 waffles. Because those sourdough waffles, you can freeze them. And when you warm them up, they actually work out really well. They come out of... You warm them up, I mean, thaw them out, and then toast them. And they're good, man. They're toasted on the outside and light and fluffy on the inside. They're going to be fantastic. I actually had one this morning, but I had to get out of here because I had a cardiac follow-up appointment 3 months since my heart attack. Well, September, October, November. Yep, 3 months since my heart attack. And everything was great there. My blood pressure was 110 over 63. You know, no cholesterol, no nothing. Everything's fine. The workout's going good. Lost some more weight. So everything's really going well, which is really crazy. I'm going to tell you something about having a heart attack. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of having a heart attack, but like after you have a heart attack, you are sensitive, man, to stuff going on in your body, like waiting for the next one, sort of, or wondering what's going on in your, you know, inside your body. Like once in a while, I'll get this kind of anxiety thing where I feel like something's going to happen, but nothing happens. I mean, it's just a thing. You're like, oh, how come I feel like shaky or something. Well, because you feel shaky. That's why. There's nothing about it. But I'm telling you, you react to things that your body does because, you know, now you've had a heart attack, you're just a little more sensitive to it. But anyway, so we got a lot of food going on, which is cool, and we're thinking of more ways to make more food, do it ourselves, and, you know, help some other people along the way, too. Let's see. I know there was... So I want to tell you what happened on Sunday. So on Sunday, first of all, let me start over. Okay, so we're working on the website for Real Liberty Media. We're going to be making some changes, and people may or may not be irritated because I'm screwing around with the auto DJ all the time, or at least I was. I think I'm done screwing around with it because... I had a conversation. I ought to bring this up. Let me see if I can find it in my email. So this is just like an irritation, like really. Okay, so Auto DJ, for those of you who don't know, it's a program that will play files when you aren't actively on your server like I am right now. It'll just play tracks. Like whatever you put in tracks, it'll play them. And you're supposed to be able to schedule things to play at a certain time. Now listen to how stupid this is. Well, let me read you this guy's response. And if I have to, I'll tell you what the question was, but you'll figure it out. He says, sorry, but the auto DJ cannot be forced to interrupt a file while it is playing. Now, let me just put this in perspective. So, Auto DJ has 50 songs on it. And those songs, well, songs, let's call them tracks. Those tracks are from hosts who have been on Real Liberty Media, and we have their shows archived, and we can feed in, you know, shows from 10 years ago. Or longer. I don't know how long Real Liberty Media has been around, but it's been around a long time, longer than 10 years. But we have all those files saved, I think. I really shouldn't say that. But I've seen the archives myself. I don't know if every single show is archived, but, you know, when a host finishes a show, they upload the show to Real Liberty Media in their little area, and those shows are still there. Now, if they took some shows down, I don't know. But there's a ton of shows, right? So we put them all in this other music file. And Auto DJ, when you turn on Auto DJ, it starts playing those files. Now, there's a scheduler in Auto DJ. So let's say at 12 o'clock on Sundays or 3 p.m. Eastern, I want Hal's show to start automatically. Okay, so I tell Auto DJ, hey, at 3 p.m. Eastern, I want you to start playing Hal's recording or show. So Auto DJ goes to the server and it says, is anything playing? Well, of course something's playing because Auto DJ is playing, right? Well, if that file doesn't stop exactly at 3 p.m. Eastern, Auto DJ is going to wait until whatever file is done playing before it interrupts and starts playing the new Hal's show. Now, here's what's really stupid. Like, you talk about stupidity on top of stupidity, which Bosscast probably is going to kick us off now. I don't care. They actually have this priority system from 1 to 9, 9 being the highest priority and 1 being the lowest priority. So a 9 priority file is supposed to, this is what it actually says on their site, is a 9, you know, the higher level priority is supposed to take precedence over a lower level priority. But it doesn't, because it'll wait for a 1 level priority file to complete before Hal's show starts. So let me tell you, I offered my own solution to this problem, and he responded, like, well, it may work and it may not. Like, this is what he said. Trade in a schedule to stop and then start the auto DJ right after, while possibly having the desired effect. If it doesn't play from the managed music list first, could cause dead air and the possibility of requiring the listener to reload their player. So he goes on to say, for more control over what is played, the ability to stop something playing at any time and control the exact time something should play, I recommend using live broadcasting software. Okay, so he recommended one. It's called Mix, M-I-triple-X. And I just started screwing around with that today. I don't see that it has a scheduler in it. So, but I mean, I barely scratched the surface of the operation manual. But we'll see what happens. It took a little bit for me to figure out just how to play a track. And then, yeah, it'll be fine. But I think it's going to have to be something that literally somebody is actively involved with. Like, it, there's not going to be a scheduler that just, like, takes over the server and starts playing a track when we want it to play. So, in the meantime, hang on. In the meantime, we'll just be kind of taking over live and doing it live. Hang on, sorry. Man, I've had this tickle in my throat for like 3 days, and of course, there's so much going on around me, and I'm a dentist, so I get exposed to people all the time who may or may not be symptomatic, but may or may not be sick with something, the flu or RSV or whatever other magic they have out there. Well, I'm telling you, it's crazy that in, I don't know, like 5 years now, I haven't gotten sick, and I hate to jinx myself like that, but that's the truth. And if you want me to, I'll go over my regimen again sometime, but it's on some previous podcasts. You know what? Maybe I should do some short podcasts that are just specifically things I've talked about in the past and are short clips, so you don't have to literally go look for a show and look through all the information of the show and figure out which show it is that I talked about the regiment that I follow and have been following for 5 years. That is, I'm telling you, it has to have done something to keep me from getting sick. Of course, it didn't keep me from having a heart attack, but that's a whole different story, one which I should make a short about, why I had a heart attack and all the signs and the whole history behind that. I'll do some shorts. I think that's a good idea, and keep them up on the new Rumble space, which is right under Redneck Dentist, easy to find. I'm going to really appreciate that, and BitChute and Odyssey. I think that's a good idea. I'll start doing some of those. In fact, that's good because I love doing this. Let me tell you something about this Mix program. So luckily, there is a Linux version, so it was easy to install. It fired right up, and then, you know, kind of fumbling around trying to figure it out. But here's the deal with me, and I was really thinking about this before the show, too. So the reason I became a hacker way back when is because I didn't want computers to tell me what I was going to do. I wanted to know how people made computers do what they do. So I've always been kind of techie, and I've always kind of sought some education training of my own to try and figure out, you know, how to make these computers do what I want them to do. So whenever I get like a new lead on a piece of software that may or may not, help me solve a problem, It's always kind of fun because it's like, oh, okay, I got to go in here and see, you know, how this thing works and figure out all the nuances with a new program, you know, and how to make it solve a problem I have. So right now we have this problem, you know, we want Hal's show to start right at 12, manned or unmanned. So I think there's a solution, and it may not be that piece of software, but you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get a whole new introduction to another piece of software that kind of goes right along with this little hobby I'm doing podcasts. And I'm going to learn some new terminology and see some new solutions and watch some YouTube videos, and because, you know, people aren't doing them on BitChute and Odyssey and Rumble yet. Although, I mean, I think that's a good idea. There's one guy, Tom, what's his name? Switch to Linux. Yeah, you gotta check him out once in a while. Even if you're not on Linux, he just offers some good information. Like sometimes he talks about a program or security issues. He has a news program once a week, and he does talk about security issues with like iPhones and, you know, Samsung, Android, Microsoft. It, you know, anywhere where there's a security vulnerability, he'll cover it. And he talks about other programs, and, you know, he's not strictly a Linux guy, I don't think, although he could be. But he has a pretty good platform for learning stuff. Nice and short, concise. Sometimes he's a little more concise than I'd like him to be, but it still will get you thinking and get you to go look at, you know, a solution that you know, on your own. Which is kind of cool because, you know, fiddling with stuff is a good way to learn. I had we had family over on Saturday last week, and one of the grandkids, David, asked me if Sammy was going to be the next Elon Musk, and I just kind of started laughing, only because Sammy's like 7, I think. Yeah, I think he's 7. And why a 16-year or 18-year-old would suggest that Sammy is going to be the next Elon Musk kind of just tickled me. But Sammy's kind of like that tinkering guy, you know. He'll figure stuff out. He'll take stuff apart just to see how it works, which kind of causes him a lot of trouble because he ends up, you know, destroying his, you know, quadcopter or drone or RC car or whatever, because he wanted to see how it was working, but he couldn't put it back together. You know, it was like keeping track of parts, like which way they came out and which way they need to go back in. But still, he's looking, like actually trying to figure out and see how things work. And that's what I was saying about, you know, technology stuff. Now, I know that there's going to come a point probably in my life where I either just don't have the desire or enthusiasm or maybe mental capacity to continue doing that. Or maybe something happens, you know, physically where, you know, you have a stroke and you can't, you know, just some health hazard happens to you and you're not able to do things that you'd like to do. But for now, it's fun for me, and it always has been fun for me to delve into things and see how to make these programs and these machines work for me instead of, you know, making me work. So anyway, you're going to notice some big changes on the auto DJ, definitely. Like, I'm going to start screwing with it big time. And this is what I was thinking. There's not very many people that listen to the auto DJ constantly. So, like, if you hit the live, listen live button when there's not a live personality on, when Hal or I aren't on, or Benny's not on, or Moose Girl, or, you know, anybody else. If anybody is not actually live, when you go on there, you're just getting a random, you know, whatever auto DJ selects off of the music list or the track list, it just plays it, and whatever's on there, that's what you listen to. Well, here's the deal. There's some old shows like Dropping a Coil, It's All Connected. I can't think of all the shows right off the top of my head, but, you know, there's a bunch of old shows that are archived, and each one of those shows has their own blog page, and each one of those shows has their own podcast page. So if you want to go listen to a certain, you know, go listen to Grimner, for example. Grimner has The Leftover Show, and It's All Connected, and he did a show with Circle that I can't remember. And anyway, you can just go to the podcast page and download any of the pod, or just start listening. You can listen live on their page. The Top 10 Show, I remember that one. And Freaker's Ball and Dork Table. I mean, there's a ton of shows on there that you can just go listen to. So on the Listen Live, you may not get what you're hoping for, but what I've noticed is there's only one person connected, or two maybe, when I go on there to look and see if anybody's listening to the auto DJ anyway. There may be one person. Well, sorry, but we're going to be taking over and making that thing work the way we want it to work, so that when we schedule something, it actually plays when we want it to play. That's the goal. There's no sense having a piece of software that says it does something and it doesn't actually do it. That's just stupid to me. And it's pretty much misrepresentation. I mean, imagine this, and I actually started doing this. Imagine you just would have to end up programming all 24 hours of a day so that auto DJ never came on. Or maybe you just leave. Well, yeah, you can't even leave auto DJ off because if auto DJ isn't on, it won't know that you have a schedule to play. You see what I'm saying? So it has to be on. And here's another problem. You have to have tracks in the music folder. They call it the music folder. It's just a track folder. A default playlist, let's say. You have to have tracks in there to get them into a playlist to then create a schedule. And if you delete the track off of the music default playlist, it literally deletes your schedule because you took the track out. Yeah, it's a hassle. It's really a hassle. But anyway, we're going to solve the problem one way or another. You know, we may just have to have somebody live DJ all the time. And I was actually looking at this little program, Mix. I can run it. I can just let it sit here and do its thing and run 24/7. I'm sure I could do it. Do I want to? Well, you know, once in a while I'm going to kick it off because I'm doing something else. But anyway, just kind of trying to update everybody, you know, original people who are still in Real Liberty Media, kind of keep you up to date on what's going on. And you're going to notice some changes. They're coming. I'm telling you, they're coming. And we're going to have more hosts. Hopefully, Vinny's working on that. I know he has a few he talked to me about. I think we need to get him on the air, get him some showtime, and let him have at it, man. I think that's a really good idea. And while I'm talking about having fun, man, I hope everybody makes some time in their life to have fun. Fortunately for me, the tech stuff is kind of fun. But I tell you, I took some time out this week and just went and sat. I mean, I had 5 days off last week from Wednesday to Sunday. Hang on, drink time. Anyway, and I really wanted to play some video games. And it's kind of funny. It wasn't until Sunday that I actually sat down and played video games. Yeah, we need to talk and get our first new show up. Vinny's in the chat room and just was chatting there. So, I mean, you can join this chat room. You know, you come to Real Liberty Media, get in the chat room. You can see what we're saying, you know, talking back and forth. You can send me a message or tell me I'm an idiot or whatever. I'm good with that. In fact, you know, I mean, I might as well be an idiot. We're surrounded by them, so I'd fit right in. What the hell was I saying? Dang it. Oh, video games. So I sat down and played a video game, and I was thinking, I am having so much fun being lost in this world. It was God of War Ragnarok, by the way. And the graphics are so fantastic, and I have this big, beautiful TV, and I can put the headphones on and really hear the sound and not hear anything else that's going on if I want to. Or I can just put the big sound on and fill the room with all the noises of stuff going on. Monsters attacking and, you know, ice cracking and trees falling and animals running. And it was really, really pretty cool to just have some fun. And when the world is going crazy, which I talk about every single week, and I got stuff today I'm going to get to eventually. Yeah, we're 30 minutes in. I'll get to it eventually. This is a little more fun, though, isn't it? Come on. Because the stuff I talk about, man, it can really weigh you down. I'm serious. I mean, it can be stressful. Like, wondering what the hell's going to go on next. You know, where is the next threat coming from? Thank God, hopefully, you don't live in a city. And if you do, man, start figuring out how to get the hell out of a city. I can't think of a worse place to live for your everything, for your mental health, for your physical health, for your protection, security, like food security, water security, you know, personal security. I had to go to Salem today, and I'm telling you, it's crazy. I just feel like as I get closer to the city, and Salem is a little city. I mean, really, it barely makes city status, honestly. It's big, I mean, for, you know, Oregon and for country bumpkins. But still, it's kind of a city, like, you know. And so you can feel the tension rise, like, I'll tell you one thing that happened today. So I have the F-250. It's big. It's a big, giant pickup. You know, like, it's a big truck compared to, like, most other vehicles. And I've had all kinds of vehicles from a little two-seater, you know, sports car to, you know, big diesel trucks. I had a Ram 2500. I've had the Toyota Tundra. I've had big, beautiful trucks. And little fast sports cars. I had a Porsche for a time. It was awesome. I had a BMW for a time. So I know what's, you know, small and big. So I parked my big old F-250 out in the parking lot. You know, at one store that we had to go to. And, you know, it's a store that we stock up on a ton of Costco. The, you know, membership, you know, store with, you know, gigantic quantities of everything we need. So I park my truck out far enough, you know, I know it's big, so I either have to pull forward into the space in front of me or pull through that space and into the area where people drive, have my nose sticking out there. So I always prefer to stay back a little bit so my bumper and tailgate takes up the space behind me. Well, this asshole parks his little tiny freaking, I don't know what, small pickup, so close to me because he had to, I guess, that I couldn't open the tailgate. And so it was no big deal. I just put all my groceries in the crew seat. And, you know, I'm packing it. I mean, the guy's sitting in his truck, and he saw me go back and check the tailgate, and, you know, he didn't move. That's fine, you know. It's fine. So I put all my stuff in the truck, and I get in the truck, and Rochelle had to go back in because she wanted to get this one other item. And, of course, she came out with three or four because that's the way Costco is. You know, you can't just go in and get one thing. You see all the good deals along the way. And remember, oh, I'm out of ketchup. So you got to get the three-pack of giant ketchup and the two-pack of giant ranch and, you know, the giant pack of chicken thighs or whatever. I'm not kidding. It was, but anyway, so I'm sitting in the truck waiting, and I thought, you know, I'm 65. I could just start my truck and put it in reverse and just shove my freaking tow hitch right through the grill of his truck. And then I could just say, I slipped. Man, I'm really sorry I slipped. But no, I didn't do it. But I thought about it. But who knows? The guy was probably old like me, and, you know, he was just parking where he could park for convenience. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens. You go to the city and your tension's up, and, you know, you just feel like starting a fight with somebody. I'd like to say I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm not. It's city stuff. And I think that happens, man. You live in the country long enough, you're just like, man, it's so quiet and peaceful, and nobody ever kind of comes and bothers me or threatens us. I mean, we know about threats long before they get here to the house because, you know, cameras and lighting and dogs and neighbors far enough away but close enough that, you know when stuff is coming your way. And, man, and then you go to the city and you're just on such high alert for any thing, man, that's gonna just piss you off, send you over the edge. Anyway, oh my goodness. So that's a little recap of, let me see, I just want to double check and see if I talked about everything I want to talk about on the homestead and the show. Oh, the show. Yeah, this may be, this whole show may just be fun. I don't know. So listen what happened last week. So Sunday, I started the show. I quit using my checklist, which I know somebody's going to give me a little trouble for. But I quit using the checklist because, you know, I've kind of done it like, I don't know, 100 times now. And, you know, I kind of know, okay, got to start this, got to start this, got to start this. And when I got done with the show, I look over at my recorder and I didn't start my recording, the audio recording. And I'm telling you, I could kind of feel the blood drain from my head for a minute, like, oh no, I didn't record the podcast. But you remember, those of you who've been with me for a year and a half now, or whatever it's been, yeah, like a year and a half, I use two different kinds of software. One is for video and one is for audio. Both of them use a recording method that records directly to the drive, and if anything happens, the last sound you made is recorded to the drive. So luckily, even though I didn't start the audio recorder, I had started the video recorder, which is OBS, by the way. Now, here's the cool thing about the method I use to record OBS. Is number one, I use the method, it's called MKV. It's a method that writes directly to the drive, so if you get cut off, you don't lose everything, it's already written to the drive. But also, that recording method then allows you to convert your MKV file to an MP4 or all the other variations. There's a bajillion variations. So I went into OBS, and I remuxed. I know it's a word. They use it in OBS, remux, R-E-M-U-X, which I think is like remix, but for video. I don't know. But anyway, so I remuxed the video recording, and then you can separate the audio and video channel, ungroup them, and then I removed the video channel, and then I just, it has an option to spit out an MP3. So I just used OBS to make the MP3, and then I put the video back in and rendered the video file because, I put the video up on Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. And sure enough, everything worked fine. I had to go in and put the intro and the outro on because, remember, that Sunday I also have some kind of issue with the intro and outro. And so I had to add them, but luckily they're just MP3 files. I can just import them, put them in place, snug all the sections up together, and then, you know, render the whole thing. So yeah, it worked out fine. It was just kind of crazy that, you know, something like that happened during the show, but I wanted to share with you why I use the methods that I use. And now knowing that I have kind of, I actually was thinking last week, oh, I don't even have to use this audio recorder. I could just use the video recorder and get my MP3 file. Well, that's true, but also why not have the backup just in case, right? So that's why I have the backup. Now this new program, Mixed, we'll see what kind of stuff we get from it. I do know this. When I had Mix open on my desktop here, I didn't get any sound in the OBS, which is kind of weird. So, yeah, I don't know. But like I said, I just literally got started with that program. Okay, we're going to jump into some stuff now, but I don't think I'm ready to show you that. So let's go to our notes and see what we got. Yeah. But that's the homestead and the site update stuff. What did we take up? Like, I don't know, 45 minutes or something? Where are we? Yeah, that was pretty good. Hope it was entertaining. Hope you enjoyed that. Because nothing else I have to say is going to be fun. Actually, there is one thing. Wait, I got to cough again. Yeah, there is one thing. So on a previous show, I talked about a parasitic zombie worm. It's called a parasitic zombie worm. And I kind of told you what this worm did, this parasitic zombie worm. It infects crickets, and it lays their eggs in a cricket, and the eggs produce something that makes a cricket go, hey, I want to go swimming, because, you know, that's what I do. I'm a swimmer. And so they go find a body of water, not a little puddle, but a body of water, and they jump in this body of water. Now, crickets don't normally just jump in a body of water because it's going to kill them. But this parasitic zombie worm takes over the cricket and makes it seek out a body of water. So the cricket goes and jumps in the body of water. The cricket dies. The worms get expelled. The worm eggs get expelled, and they grow into little parasitic zombie worms, and they crawl out on the ground and start the whole cycle over again. Well, I was, you know, looking through wildlife news and stuff, and I found this interesting story. Oh, I may have to adjust it so it fits the screen. Let's see. It almost fits the screen. I'm going to leave it. No, I'll change it. No, I'll leave it. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it won't change. It won't, I have to switch off the screen and back on. We're just going to leave it. It's close enough. It says, mind-controlling parasite turns wolves into pack leaders. Now, is this crazy or what? The researchers did kind of a thing where they you know, took the blood of these wolves in Yellowstone. I forget how many, but they were looking for, let's see. I'll just read this part. Wolves infected with behavior-altering parasites are more likely to become pack leaders or abandon their packs altogether, according to an analysis of more than 200 gray wolves in Yellowstone National Park. The findings add to a growing body of evidence that Toxoplasma gondii, a single-celled parasite, pulls on the puppet strings of its host, goading them into pursuing risky behavior. They identified a substantial increase in the odds of dispersal and of becoming a pack leader, both risky behaviors, in wolves that showed signs of T. gondii infection in their blood. The authors wrote in a study published online November 24th in the journal Communications Biology. So you can actually go to, let's just see where this takes us. A. Sure enough, there's the original article right there. You can read it yourself. So if you follow the links. Hey, by the way, I'm just going to, oh no. Yeah, let me say this. I have a blog up. If you go to redneckdentist.com and you go to the blog page, you're going to find my show notes with the links in them. You can click the links yourself and it'll take you right to these stories. And I appreciate just the visits on the site anyway. I think it's the easiest way I've found so far to share my links and have some of my commentary in the notes too. Anyway, let's get back to this. Toxoplasmosis, the disease caused by T. gondii infection, is everywhere. While T. gondii can only sexually reproduce and complete its life cycle in felids, cat families, cat members of the cat family, it is perfectly at home in any warm-blooded host, including about 33% of all humans and more than 10% of the U.S. population. A healthy immune system is usually enough to keep the disease symptoms at bay, and people who are not immunocompromised seldom experience anything more daunting than minor flu symptoms, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so what's interesting about this story to me is that little infection actually changes the behavior of wolves. So they can become aggressive, and sometimes to their own detriment, they go after the, you know, alpha male, and they just get their ass handed to them, and, you know, they die from their wounds or whatever. Or they wander off from the pack and go try to become solitary or start their own pack, and yeah, they're out traveling alone, so they're, you know, and plus they wander into cougar country, which I didn't really know this. It kind of makes sense, cats and dogs, but cougars don't like wolves, but they won't try and take on an entire pack. But if they're hungry enough, they take a, you know, a lone young wolf. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to see this story after being exposed to this parasitic zombie worm earlier and kind of reading about that. I kind of knew that stuff existed because, like I said before, I have a degree in biology, but I didn't really study a lot of parasitic, you know, well, a lot of parasites and what kind of things, you know, they've caused. But obviously this is kind of a new thing that they've just figured out, is that this parasite causes wolf behavior to change. That's kind of interesting and kind of big. I mean, you know, parasites are tiny. That little parasitic zombie worm, I have video of it in that show, and the show I did about the parasitic zombie worm, which I think the show is actually called Parasitic Zombie Worm. So if you go back and look at the archive shows, you'll find it pretty easily, and you can check out the video on Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of crazy just to see that how much effect a parasite could have. Like, usually it just makes you sick, or you get some kind of lung infection from a parasite, or you've probably all seen these you know, kind of horrible wildlife or bug infestations of humans where you have the pulsating worm in your under your skin or in your eyes or whatever. Yeah, there's some pretty hideous things that can happen with parasites. Tapeworms, another great example. Yeah, you know, but most of those things can be fixed. Oh, yeah, I was just thinking of another kind of goes back to ivermectin, right? So ivermectin is actually used because this parasite that gives people river blindness or something, ivermectin actually prevents that, it gets rid of that parasite. That's what it was kind of developed for originally, and why it has such huge use across the entire world. And, you know, its safety record, it has been proven over and over again through millions of people, literally millions of people using ivermectin to prevent river blindness from this river parasite. Anyway, just, you know, kind of pointing out the obvious about ivermectin there. Let's get back to the show notes. Because, okay, so remember last week I was talking, I asked if you watched the documentary Died Suddenly. And I watched it. And then I found several stories this week. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was almost like, I've known that people have been dying after the COVID jab for a long time. We've been talking about it on the Redneck Dentist podcast for a long time. But, so I look for stories that say such and such died suddenly or died unexpectedly. But man, after that documentary, like three, I think, stories came up right off the bat, like in the last couple days. And each one kind of blew me away because I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. So check this out. Cryptocurrency founder dies unexpectedly at age 30. How did he die? Well, they're not going to tell you, that's for damn sure. And I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. It says a young cryptocurrency founder has died unexpectedly at age 30. On November 23rd, TNTN Kulander, the 30-year-old co-founder of a digital asset company, Amber Group, passed away unexpectedly in his sleep, a statement from Amber confirmed. The loss of Kulander, affectionately nicknamed TT, has devastated his colleagues and friends. Okay, so there's one. Guess who else? Jake Flint. This is horrible. 37-year-old singer-songwriter Jake Flint suddenly dies just hours after getting married. There's Jake right there. Jake Flint, a 37-year-old musician, passed away mere hours after getting married over the weekend. We should be going through wedding photos, but instead I have to pick out my clothes to bury my husband in. People aren't meant to feel this much pain. My heart is gone, and I just really need him to come back. I can't take much more. I need him here, Flint's bride Brenda wrote in a heart-rending Facebook post. Okay, one more. Wait, is this the... Yeah. Philly filmmaker dies suddenly in his sleep at age 45 on Thanksgiving. Frank Tartaglia had been in good health, family says. Frank Tartaglia, filmmaker and beloved fixture in the South Philadelphia art scene, died suddenly last week, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported. So I'm wondering, do you think these news outlets have just decided to kind of zero in on the died suddenly, died unexpectedly, you know, was in good health, pointing out, you know, the facts? I mean, they could be, you know, The Blaze is probably obviously one of those places that would have watched Died Suddenly. The Blaze has been honest about COVID from the very beginning. They've pointed out all the hypocrisy that's been going on. How much time? Oh, we got 5 minutes. Hell, I can cover another five items in 5 minutes. That's not true. I couldn't even cover one more item in 5 minutes. But we're going to keep going. But it's kind of interesting that these stories keep coming up, and you hear about them. I mean, I had a patient in who I've known for a couple years, and I hadn't seen him since I had my heart attack, and so we were having this little conversation while I was fixing one of his teeth, of course, so it's kind of one-way conversation. But he actually told me some stuff, too. He was telling me, and he's younger than I am by 15 years or so, and he was telling me about his brother, I think, or yeah, it doesn't matter, some relative of his who he said is like 30-something years old, and you know, ever since he had the vax, he's had one problem after another. And I wanted to bring this up. Oh, no, that's not it. I probably got rid of it. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. Anyway, but he was telling me that this relative of his has had so many health problems since he got the vax. And I told this guy, I was like, hey, listen, I said, I'm not going to give you any medical advice. I said, but I'm going to tell you where you should go look for some help for your family member. And I sent him to the FLCCC site, the doctors who treated people during the peak of COVID and had success treating people with stuff like ivermectin. And they also have the detox, the whole detox thing set out there. So you can go read the detox information yourself and follow that information yourself. So hopefully, you know, people, I hope we get more and more people to understand that they have to detox from the spike protein. If you have the spike protein, which mostly came from the vaccine, you should detox from it. And there's methods. Those docs created this method to detox for it. And none of that stuff is expensive, trust me. Because if it's expensive, I would have told you, like, hey, this one thing is kind of expensive. None of it is expensive. It's stuff you may do anyway, like club soda, or like red wines, or like dark chocolates, or like blood thinners, an aspirin a day, that kind of stuff. It's not something that's stupid expensive, like the stupid drug that they came up, which gives you rebound COVID, and it's supposedly their treat. I'm telling you, this whole thing is so damn irritating. And, you know, continually, the mainstream media is pushing their story. They're backing the people who got all this crap started in the first place, and they're not backing off. Not in mass, anyway. You see one or two, you know, rebels kicking up their heels and trying to take down some of the narrative, you know, but it's still out there, man. The local news is just horrendous for me to watch, because I just see these people repeating stuff that I know that's not true, number one, and they still have these, you know, public, what is that called when they do that public service announcement? That's it. PSAs. You know, and like I was talking about last show, you know, they have these minorities begging people to go out and get their vaccine, and I'm just like, oh my God, please stop. You know, you're killing your own, basically, like leading them to slaughter. Okay, so we're kind of down to a minute or so. I just want to tell you what's coming up. So next show, I'm gonna talk about how district attorneys are actually racist bastards killing minorities. And I've made the link. It's easy to make. It's not, there's no magic here. It's just going to be something that hopefully when you see it, when you hear it, you probably know it already. But it's the craziest thing. And I know why they're doing it. So on my next show, I'm going to kind of talk about, you know, who is really responsible for killing minorities, especially in the big cities. And yeah, I understand that people kill people. I get that. But there's a whole nother agenda going on there. And it's been put in place for a reason. And that's all the time we have. I'll see you guys on Saturday night. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.